Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David.
Hello! Charlottesville, it is Sunday, it is May 13th, happy Mother's Day to you all. Get that day off. Get that day off.
Are you okay?
No, never.
All right.
And this is Homegrown, your local show about progressive art going down in Seaville, the new and growing, burgeoning Seaville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. And
that's my favorite.
Me. Finally. Again. Is the lovely, loquacious, lascivious, Leslie M. Scott Jones, Queen B.
I love how you say finally.
Yeah, well,
just a little shade there.
Well, no. I'm just like, I just haven't seen you, and I miss you. And there was no shade.
You miss me?
Yeah.
Aw.
A little bit.
That's sweet.
Just a little bit. Let's not get carried away.
Oh, just a little bit, huh? Just a little bit.
Well, it's like, all right, so...
yes, please explain.
So it's like, have you ever, like... I'm trying to think.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of a good analogy.
Oh, boy.
I can't. I'm not gonna stifle the show. We got too much show.
All right.
We got too much stuff to get into. All right. But I just, I guess it says initial banter right here. So I guess I should banter with you. I mean, I haven't seen you. So, first of all, I should cuss you out, but I'm not going to. But because
cuss me out for what?
Because I showed up at this Liberation Minded Education Collective, and what nobody there. Oh, okay, granted, I showed up an hour and a half late. But that's not the point.
Which would be why popping. But
when
it was
I got there.
There.
I was working, girl.
Okay, well,
but I just
but it was
to say,
awesome.
It was. I'm sure it was awesome. I saw the pictures.
We had a great time. You know, we did some drumming. We did some singing, some dancing.
And the kids had fun.
They
and
did.
It's, and it's all about the kids.
They did a little yoga. Oh my God, it was so cute.
Did yoga.
It was so cute to watch these little kids try and do like the tree pose. It was adorable.
So is singing different from singing?
Yes.
Is, oh, okay.
When black people, yes. When black people do it, it's different.
Really?
Yes.
Is that what David was doing at the end of his show?
All
right. Let me, Teddy Pendergrass.
Let me put it this way: you can't sing a madrigal. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
That involves a little different inflection.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You can't be like Gloria in excelsis. Like it don't. Like, I get it, girl,
you know
but
what?
It don't work
we should,
out.
You know what? We should try to do that. Seriously.
We should definitely try to do that. We should.
Challenge accepted.
Hamilton meets Hallelujah.
Yes!
Done. We'll get it done.
Awesome.
Without further ado, we kind of have a Seaville legend in the house. And I know I say that all the time, and I throw the word legend around a lot, but it's true because Homegrown is popping, so we bringing in all these people that have kind of made Seaville what it is. But I got a guy that knows a little bit about film and knows a little bit about pleasing the public. His name is John Johnson. He is the founder of Darkstone Entertainment. And if you don't know what Darkstone Entertainment is, and if you live in Seaville, you need to crawl up from under that rock.
Punk!
And and get to know life a little bit better. So yeah, I'm just gonna let you jake it, John. How you been? How's it going?
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Early, you guys are so awake and lively.
It's the coffee. It's the coffee, and it's got nothing to do with me. It's my day off. I actually usually get up around like 5 o'clock. So
yeah, theater people.
It's like noon for me. So.
Yeah, theater people. We don't normally do this. Like right. It's not. Yeah, mornings not really our thing.
Leslie,
but,
however, never sleeps. And
I really well.
No, you don't. No, you don't, and you complain about it, and it makes me mad.
Better.
Because I just want to shoot you with a tranquilizer, and I'm happy that it has gotten better.
It has gotten better.
It has gotten better. Before, I was worried about you, girl. I was worried about you, quite frankly. But that's neither here nor there. John.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
I'm doing good.
What's the next project?
Because
y'all have done so much.
Yeah, I've made about 180 films.
That's all?
Holy
that's
crap.
Come on, man.
I don't know how to do anything
else. Step it up.
But yeah, there's a few. I've got there was a video game called Seventh Guest from the early 90s. It was the first video game to use live actors in the actual game.
Mm.
And we were doing a web series, well, I guess more of a television series. It's just getting released on the web, but it's they're half an hour episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, it's like a sequel to the two games that were released. So we have that coming out. I've got Rifters, which is a kind of a time travel adventure film. And then I'm shooting Manos, the remake of Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Wow.
Which we're shooting next year, but we're starting the pre-production now.
Nice.
So, yeah.
For those of you that don't know, Manos, The Hands of Fate is one of the best, worst, bad, great, worst movies of all time.
Right.
For those of you who also don't know, the word Manos is Spanish for hands. So the name of the movie is essentially Hands, The Hands of Fate.
Right.
But you
and also, if you don't know, Darkstone focusing on horror entertainment in a number of shades. Like,
sure.
Adventure horror, comedy horror, whatever. But there's just a little there's always a little bit of horror in there somewhere, right?
Oh yeah, always. The thing about horror films, the reason why I like it so much is that when you sit down to watch a horror film, you're ready to believe anything. Like if we say the sky's blue and or the sky's purple and, you know, air is, you know, thick, they're ready to believe that. Where like a drama or a comedy, you have to kind of prove the world that you're in. But with a horror film,
it's easy to suspend disbelief.
Yeah, everybody's ready to believe whatever you want to do, and then you can just build your story from there.
Or suspend belief.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like theater in that way. I mean, because we suspend our disbelief every time we walk into a live theater.
Sure.
Right, because you have to focus on this part and this is not really this and this is not really a house and whatever, and you have and as an actor you have to prove to people that you are actually where you're at and doing the things that you do. But that's crazy. Yeah, that's true. So let's talk about this bad movie craze, because you just remade Plan 9 from Outer Space.
I did.
Which and you said either that one or Manos is one of the most like riffed on Mystery Science Theater.
Mystery Science, I believe Manos is their most popular episode, and
right.
Riff Tracks did it, but Plan 9's like a close second.
Right.
Yeah.
Which also just came out on Prime, and if y'all get a chance to check that out, I'm gonna check it out. But I particularly like love watching. Yeah, what's that like?
Sorry, what was that like? What was it like remaking Plan 9? And first off, what moved you to do it? And then what was it like to walk in those shoes?
Well, it was. It all started. One of the survivors of the original film, Conrad Brooks, was a friend of mine that I met working on another film, and I was complaining about remakes in general. And somebody said, "Well, if you could remake any movie in the world, what would you do?" And I said I would remake a movie that was not so great versus taking a movie that's already good and trying to make it better somehow. And then I said I'd do it for Conrad because it wasn't quite like the Ed Wood film. They were all known for making the worst movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
So like it was hard for them to get work. Like they were kind of at the bottom of the rung. And I was like, well, what if we just prove that the movie, it was the timing and like the situation that they were in that made it a bad movie, but the general idea was, you know, a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of dove in, and there was a lot of anger at the beginning because you're messing with like, you know, people's, you know,
yeah.
When you remake anything.
Property.
You're right. But then once we did a teaser trailer in 2009, we got over 1 million views collectively for it, and people kind of saw that we were treating it respectfully, and then they got behind us, which was kind of fun.
That's kind of fascinating because I wouldn't think that, like, I could see somebody doing that with like Jurassic Park or something like a good movie.
Sure.
Like if you tried to remake it and be like, no, I disagree with that. But like somebody taking like an awful movie like that and actually showing like anger and vitriol against a person that would, you know, how dare they reshape my idea of this horrible movie that I just watched.
Sure.
Like I just find that fascinating. Can you talk a little bit more about that backlash?
Well, sure. Like, I mean, with this movie, it wasn't so much like we love Plan 9 as much as they loved Ed Wood. Mm. And who Ed Wood was. And they didn't want me to make fun or, you know, disrespect him, which, you know, of course, we were not going to do.
Yeah.
But once they realized that that was the case, I was able to get a lot of horror icons to kind of come in. We had Mike Christopher, the Hare Krishna zombie from the original Dawn of the Dead. Brian Krause from Charmed. He was Leo, and he was in Stephen King's Sleepwalkers.
Yeah.
Addie Miller from The Walking Dead, the first little girl zombie. Matthew Ewald from Fox's Galador. He was the lead Galador. He had, like, little McDonald's figurines made of him. And so we were able to kind of collectively put together this...
The creme de la creme.
Yeah, of
no, and these are, this is not like local actor, like lowball. Like,
no.
You actually went out and shopped for these people.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
And you went to improve a film that was inherently flawed. Because Ed Wood's a fascinating figure in itself as well. Because he's, like, not the great, like... a horrible filmmaker, but incredibly ambitious.
Sure.
And I think his ambition is more known for than his actual work. So I can see why people would be like tripped out about that. But yeah.
But yeah, once we got it going, we took over a town, Bedford, Virginia. We shut down streets. We kind of turned their small town and had, I think, 268 zombies roaming throughout the place.
That's awesome.
In total. Which was a lot of fun to get a lot of, like, you know, we had their visitor center became our kind of hub. So, like, extras would come in, we'd get them set up and stuff like that. And, it was a great experience. And, I mean, we even, at the time, we didn't have, like, a giant budget, but we had a lot more money than any film I'd ever done before.
Mm-hmm.
And so the instead of, like, a crane, the fire department gave me a fire truck. And just we extend
That's
the ladder
awesome.
All the way out, and I climbed out the ladder.
That's how you do it.
So, like, they've been super supportive, and they're just really good people. And it's, I think once everybody realized that we're not going to destroy or make fun, or they seem to really dig what we were doing.
Do you think that when you remake a film like that and kind of re-clarify the plot and the purpose, do you think it helps people enjoy the original work better? And is that why you do it, or you just do it for John Johnson and you just do it, like, for your own, like, reinvigoration and re-love of the material that inspired you to create film?
It's a little bit of both. We definitely made a big push that there are 50 nods to the original film in the movie, and we wanted people to go find those 50
those
nods,
Easter eggs.
So they have to watch the original film to
That's
see what
cool.
we did. So, like, there definitely was that, and we wanted to, like, you know, give love to, you know, Conrad and Ed and his whole crew. So it was definitely the goal, but at the same time, we wanted to, you know, have fun with the project and do something original that, like, kind of worked inside of the parameters that he had set. Because, I mean, you are making a movie about aliens resurrecting zombies to destroy the world because we're becoming too big for our britches nuclear-wise and stuff like that. So it is a little bit ridiculous of a story.
I don't know if that's ridiculous considering our
It gets more and more relevant, like, possible.
Sure.
That could become...
That aliens come down and they're like, all right, you guys have done enough.
Right. Yes. Yes.
And that alien's name was Kanye West.
Oh.
He's working it all out.
He's got to be.
He's working
He's
got to
be at
out.
This point. He's dead to me.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
We'll talk about Kanye later.
All right. Yeah, no, we will not. We will not.
Oh, no. Off air. Not
maybe. Do we have to do a drop?
No.
All right, we can still keep going. Cool. Talk about going into Manos and kind of what you want to do with that film.
Well, Manos is not as loved as Plan 9 is. It doesn't quite have the same thing. But ever since I did Plan 9, the fans have just requested that I do Manos next because it's the next bad movie, like, that isn't... well, it's also public domain, so I can do it,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of the other films are not public domain, like Troll 2 and The Room and, mm-hmm. like, you know...
Troll 2?
Oh, my God!
Yeah. So, like, those you can't really mess with, but Manos is, you know, public domain, so, like, this is the one that I could do it, and I made a few films for myself, like, did some more original stuff, and then decided to go back and look at it, and... I watched a little bit of the movie, and I was like, oh, man. it's a little harder than Plan 9.
It's a lot. It's a lot to change.
But it's an exciting challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, we're not going to disrespect. We're not going to poke fun. We're going to treat it as nicely as we can. And and kind of show, like, maybe this is the film that, or a film that they would have wanted to make versus what they ended up with because of time, money, and stuff like that.
Right.
And ability.
And, well, I'm not going to say that.
Hey, now.
I mean, just like, yeah. There, I mean, there could be, like, many, many cofactors, not just... Not just talent or skill. It's not getting sensitive here. It's a nice conversation.
You know, actors
make it weird.
Actors are tough to deal with. Who wants to deal with them? I mean, I get it. I get it.
What are you talking about? We are here, sane.
Hey,
sane, balanced individuals.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Not
thank
at
you.
All.
That's how. How
what's, how's working?
With... I'll be in my trailer.
Yeah. We pissed off Clinton. How's it like working with actors? Like, what's your directorial tone as towards your actors? Would you say you're an actor's director, or are you just kind of like more focused on technicality? Because you're doing remakes, so sometimes you're doing like shot for shot. Sometimes you're doing like, you know, strict.
But he's also doing originals too.
That's right. And we'll get to that next. But you're sometimes doing like strict, regimented like pans and like focuses. So it's like there is a certain bit of technicality that needs to be like respected, as well as like having fun with the.
Well, there's is really like I.
So what's the actor work like? Is my question.
The actors are they're very different. You've got known actors who have done a lot of work, and so you would give them a note very differently than you would give somebody who's never done it before, where you're kind of helping them. Through the process, and then there are theater actors that you have to treat differently than film actors and basically people just doing it as a hobby. So you have to kind of feel out the person and see what they like and how they like to be spoken to, as well as getting your point across without upsetting or stuff like that. It is a tricky rope at the beginning to kind of figure out how they would like to be spoken to. And then, you do your best to get them to get to where you want them to be for your story.
Yeah. I remember this story that Kevin Smith was talking about directing Bruce Willis in Cop Out.
Sure.
And he was giving him a note, and Bruce Willis was like just giving him that, what the F are you talking about face that Bruce Willis does. And he's like, yes, that face. That face is the face I wanted to make in the shot. All right, go. Let's go.
Right. Action.
So it's like, yeah, there's a certain delicacy. But we're gonna get on different topics. We're gonna talk about the stuff that you're doing next and other things in general. But this is Homegrown, and we'll be right back. Drop.
Hello, this is Brian Weimer of the Ix Art Park, and you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC.
19 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm Devious, that's Leslie, Clinton on the boards. We're here talking with John Johnson, founder of Darkstone Entertainment.
What was that?
I think that's actually the sound the logo makes. When you come, no, it's not like the MGM lion.
You're not filming a horror movie right now, are you? Because there are three black people in the room, and that means one of us
we
is
all
going first.
Die.
Well, no, if one of you
within
raps,
like 20 minutes.
You'll survive the whole movie. That's the counter. If one of you can rap, they survive the movie.
So David's the only going to be the only one that survives, is what you're saying. That's okay. Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks. I'm the most typecast. Yeah. I would be the straight guy.
No, I'm just saying you're the only one that can rap. Like, you would be it.
Yeah, if you could rap, you can actually punch the monster in the face.
LL Cool J.
Yeah, LL Cool J, Busta Rhymes.
Right.
Like, you can punch
all survive.
They all survive. That's like the weird.
You need bars in order to get through a dystopian future.
I'm probably going to be the Samuel L. Jackson that like makes it through the first half an hour and then gets completely eaten by the shark.
He didn't have any rhymes, so like it didn't work out for him.
Right. That would
nobody
be mine.
Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
It really was.
That was a great moment.
Really good.
That was really
good.
And
cool.
I would be the one
decent.
Like cussing the shark out right before like.
That was a moment. Meanwhile, LL Cool J is like, "You ate my bird."
Yes.
This Deep Blue Sea moment brought to you by Blue Light Grill. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my god.
Lovely movie. So what else do you plan on making in the future? Because, like Clinton said, not only do you do remix, you do originals.
Yes.
So, yeah, what original work is coming up next, and what are you working on?
Well, I mean, there's so much. I'm definitely known for a series that I did called Skeleton Key. That mm-hmm. I've made Skeleton Key 1, Skeleton Key 2, 667, Neighbor of the Beast, Skeleton Key 3, The Organ Trail, and Skeleton Key 3, Part 2.
The Organ Trail? Wait.
The scariest one.
I'm sorry.
As in
I
organs.
Oh, my God.
Well, which are basically comedies. But I'm doing a...
You have murder.
A Christmas comedy called Xmas that we're shooting in December through basically like January, February, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to end up with Trauma. That's kind of where we're pushing the movie.
Whoa.
Lloyd Coffin was in the Skeleton Key series with
us. Stop it.
And so...
He's a nut bar.
Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing. There's an interview that he did for Skeleton Key 3 where he said, I bought him with cigarettes in a prison, and that's how we got to know each other.
Awesome.
Which was a follow-up question because people actually thought something like that had happened. And so there was a lot of explaining I had to do. thanks to Lloyd. But no, he's super, super amazing guy just for everything that he's done, like, mm-hmm. you know, career-wise. And so we're going. I've never released a film with Trauma, so we're doing this film just to basically hand it over and just say, "Here you go."
Nice,
cool.
Because we were going to give him Skeleton Key, but we went with a different route for it.
Yeah.
And so we always kind of regretted that. And it's like just a notch on the belt to like you know have a Trauma film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
And then he could say no. But I've seen some of the other stuff that's come out this year, and I'm hoping not.
Okay. All right. So talk about the business side of it, because, I mean, there are a lot of filmmakers in town. There are a lot of kids who want to make film.
Yeah.
Like, but we always talk about the artistic side of it. We don't normally talk about the business side of it. So how do you get a film, like, picked up by a major distributor? Like, how would someone go about that?
Well, I mean, there's no right answer per se, but a lot of times larger companies want the name actor. You know, we did Plan 9. There were two. There was Brian Krause was one of our largest names, and then James Rolfe, the angry video game nerd, has millions upon millions of views and fans, and so those two names attached to the production helped further it.
Okay.
But I mean, once again, there's no right way. Like, you know, you can get stuff released on Amazon Prime without a name now.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to end up on Netflix that way. Or if you do, you're at the bottom of the list, and then it gets cycled out.
Yeah.
Mm. It's, you know, just do it. Like, don't wait for anyone else. I mean, right now with Kickstarter, you can get your film funded without having to go through a distributor.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's so many avenues that you can release the film yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say do it because the rules are changing every week right now. When I first started in 2004, when my first film came out, Shadowhunters, it was a different world. Like, I mean, Blockbuster was a thing.
Yeah.
So, it was just a very different world. Where now, like, you know, with especially Amazon Prime and, like, there's certain, like, every time I, like, pull up the PS4, I'll look at the horror movie apps.
Right.
And I go look at it to see which of my movies is on there, and I'll find one or two, and I'll be like, that's the one they went with. Okay, so, I mean, there's so many avenues now for your work.
Right.
And Plan 9 ended up at Walmart just through like five companies, and then all of a sudden, you know, we had a big day. We're just like, oh, go to Walmart and get your copy of Plan 9.
Oh,
except
cool.
for Charlottesville.
Charlottesville. No.
Rutgersville had it, and the Crossroads of Zion had it.
Interesting.
But not Charlottesville. They also didn't get Finding Dory, and that was their excuse. I went like, I made the movie here. It's like, well, we didn't get Finding Dory either. It's like, I don't care. Finding Dory.
What kind of answer is that?
That was
their defense.
What?
We shut down Dory, mofo. You think you're special? We told Pixar to F off.
I don't even understand that response, but
your ass home.
Right. But then we just drove 8 more miles.
That's
and there
hysterical.
Was.
Cool.
But yeah, you never know how it's going to work out. You just got to really push, make yourself a better, you know, filmmaker. Like once you feel like you're like the master and you can do anything you want, you failed.
Right.
You're done.
Right.
So, like, you can always learn and you can always be better in your craft and also working with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're a painter, you're in control of your painting. When you're a poet, you're in control of your words.
Mm-hmm.
But with a filmmaker, everybody is important. Like, you're not doing a movie by yourself.
Yeah, it's truly collaborative.
It's all the people that you work with, whether it's actors, scene, setup designers, producers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just kind of like it's a group effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. So, talking about pushing through and adversity, you have...
Let's do the list.
We're going to do the list first, David.
We'll do the list?
Yeah.
We're going to do the list first, David.
So we're doing the list first. Are we doing this right now?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to push through this list.
A kill list or like...
This is.
Okay.
Miss Decatur, second grade.
Not
my kill list. I'm sorry. Here are just some of the artistic...
Wow.
Yeah, music. That got dark. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running June 10th, the American Shakespeare Center spring season sees their Wicked Folly tour return to the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. They're performing an adaptation of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility, Bill Queen's Equivocation, and Macbeth. And
Are
Taming
okay?
of the Shrew. No.
All right.
Shakespeare.
Is there a pill I can get
when
you?
When have I ever been okay?
I'm just, currently, you know, concerned
running.
Over here.
May 20th, Avenue Q at Four County Players. Facebook says go see it. So I'm going to go see it. May 16th, author Amy Hunt. That's how it works. Host Fun
it's
for
a Facebook
the Youth.
Lemming.
Giving children the chance to explore books through movement and ends on play at UVA's Franklin Art Museum. May 16th, open mic for your musicians, poets, theater artists, and all other creatives at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. They bring it back to the open mic.
That's very cool.
I love it.
You're going to go, aren't you?
Nope. May 18th through June the 3rd, The Liar at Live Arts. I heard there's some good actors in
yeah,
that
Yeah, I heard there's a special actor in that. Someone we may know.
Yes. May 19th.
I believe Clinton's in
Erica
it.
Erica Wright, Molly Minturn, and novelist Aja Gabel. Gabel or Gabel? I'm sorry, Aja. Read from their works at the New Dominion Bookshop. There's no phonetic thing. Usually Clinton does a phonetic thing for me. It's okay. And for your music options this week.
Oh, my God. Today, Three Notched Road. The Charlottesville Baroque Ensemble plays music from New Spain at First Presbyterian Church on Park Street.
If it ain't Baroque, don't fix it.
Oh, my God. Save me.
You know
the Ragged Mountain String Band at the Batesville Market at 1. Peyton Tochterman and Gary Green at Glasshouse Winer at 2. Hey, Peyton, what's up? Patrick and Aaron Olwell and friends at Albemarle Ciderworks at 2:30. King Golden Banshee at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. May 15th, Bob Huntington and Travis Elliott at Fellini's.
What?
The 16th, LG and friends at the Whiskey Jar.
What?
Neil Goodloe hosts the open mic at Dirty Nelly's. May 17th, violinist Robert Simons from the Louisville Orchestra plays the Box Lunch. Isn't that cute? That's a cute
lunch.
Little...
B-A-C-H apostrophe.
Yes. Yes. Noontime Reconcert at Grace Episcopal Church. Also the 17th, Scott Ward at Tavern on the James. The Currys at the Whiskey Jar, no particular order, at Dirty Nelly's. The 18th, the Charlottesville Purple R Stars perform a tribute to Prince at Fridays After 5 at the Sprint Pavilion. The Michael Clem Trio at Glasshouse Runner. Hey, Michael, what's up?
What up, dog?
Red and the Romantic at Whiskey Jar, the hold on.
What? Yep. Turbulence.
Don't make me laugh while I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Olivares?
The Olivares Trio.
Olivares? Okay, I'll go with that. Olivares Trio at Albemarle Ciderworks. Full Tone to the Max at James River Brewery. Evan Mook. Really? Is it Mook? Wow, cool last name. Evan Mook at Fellini's and Eli Cook at Wayland's Crossing. Hey,
what?
Eli, what's up?
Mook and Cook.
Spinell Goodrich and Goggin at
the...
There was no phonetics behind that. Spinell Goodrich and Goggin at the Batesville Market on the 19th. DJ Tova at Rapture. All right, here we go. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School.
Yeah.
Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church.
Seafoot.
Songwriter night at the local, every Tuesday traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday.
Uh-oh.
Open mic night at the Pro Ray Not a Farm Bury.
Boom.
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom.
Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9.
Boom.
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero.
Boom.
Stone Rolling at the Shabin Pub and Fry.
Shabin.
And the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet.
Babushka.
Every Thursday, Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday, everyone, John Durth at Miller's. All right, that's your musical options this week.
Awesome.
This is Andy Davis from Bent Theater Improv Comedy, and you are listening to Homegrown, your show about local arts on 94.7
WPVC. God!
94.7 WPVC.
Whole lot of stuff.
32 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after the show for a previously recorded version of the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest today is his mama.
And more.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, talking about Mother's Day. Southern
Can parents. We do that? David, we should do that. Next Mother's Day, your mom, my mom.
Oh, God, no.
Yes!
No.
Yes!
I won't get a word in edgewise.
Neither will I. We'll have a day off.
Got a point there.
I'm just saying.
Interesting.
We need to do that next year.
We'll talk later.
Seriously.
We'll talk later.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds adorable. So y'all need to check that out. Anywho, we're here with John Johnson. Doc Stone Entertainment. Whatever the sound is.
I do that every time I wake up. I'm like, John Johnson, Dark Star Entertainment. Oh. And my wife tells me to go back to sleep.
Right?
It's nice to see the show get more professional every week. We're
going to
be picked up by that big-time syndicator any moment now.
I think producers should have their own like band in the back. does the Inception bwom every time.
No. I think everyone should have their own soundtrack that just follows them around.
Yes. I'm going to get you sucker.
Yes.
Yeah. The hero always has his band.
I need to work on that. Get somebody to. I need to get a kid to follow me around with a boombox.
We all do. Speaking of pushing through. Yeah. Speaking of pushing through with kids on boomboxes. You've just been diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Yes.
Parkinson's disease.
I have the wiggly monster.
Well, you said that. I didn't.
Yeah.
I just want to put that out there. No, I was just reading up on it a little, and they say that there's really no exact cause for Parkinson's.
Right.
You just
get smited.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, random, especially young onset. It's a crapshoot, and sometimes you'll get it and sometimes you won't. Most people don't. About 2015 it started to show. Got completely diagnosed just this year. But I mean, they knew last year that this is pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
They were just trying everything just to see if there was something else, and then you are a mutant. It is a mutation of the brain, so this is my special power.
That's awesome. You're like the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
You kick so much ass.
Yeah.
So how has that affected your work and the production?
Well, I mean, how many films have you made since then? I don't think it has.
Right.
When thinking about it, like, I mean, you obviously they went through the depression phase because, you know, it hits you like, oh, I'm not, you know, life is going to be hard forever.
Right.
And I kind of looked at it about, kind of thinking about the most famous person, obviously, is Michael J. Fox.
Right.
And everything he's done for the cause has been amazing.
Yep.
And, like, that's kind of his goal. So my goal is to show you what you can do with it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that it can't stop you.
It
just makes things harder, but you can make things just as easily as you could before. Well, not just as easily, but... You can make things like you could before.
Right.
And so the goal is to, like, you know, when you get diagnosed, you feel like you can't work in society anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can't you're just a hair slower than everybody else. And so, like, when you're at the gas station and you're going to pay for something and it takes you a while to get your wallet out, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's in this very fast-paced world.
Yes.
And you're slow. Mm-hmm. And so it makes you feel like you can't do anything, like you can't fit. Mm-hmm. So why not still, you know, act in your movies and play the characters as you wanted to play before, mm-hmm. so that the other people who see me do these things can be like, oh, maybe I could do this too. Like, maybe it's not where Michael J. Fox is working to save all of us. I'm kind of showing you that you don't have to give up. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to end.
Right.
You can do the things you want to do, and you can look up to people that have Parkinson's as well, mm-hmm. versus that feeling of just being not a part of things anymore.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
You know, things have kind of mm-hmm. broken down for you.
Right. And I would think, as a person that solely lives on their art
yeah.
and is a producer, you've always kind of battled that typical mentality. Oh, you can't do this
sure.
as a job. You have to focus on something that's more stable. You have to, you know, get a degree in engineering or something that's coming up in the, you know, in our, you know, current, like, you know, zeitgeist or whatever. But it's like, it's just another, like, testament to show, like, your fortitude. Like, I think so.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I think as artists, and specifically myself as a person that, like, admires people that live solely on art and, you know, have just pushed through the idea of, like, fitting into the norm of capitalism, that shows promise and it shows resilience. So
I'm also in a strong position where I have a very loving fan base that has been very supportive of what I do, even after, obviously, Mr. Parks came to visit.
You have the cutest.
Like, oh my god!
For a life debilitating disease, and that's what you need in times like this. But
that's
continue.
Awesome.
But yeah, so, like, I mean, I'm in a position where, like, I write my own films, I produce my own films, I release my own films. So if my lead character has Parkinson's, so what?
It's right.
This is just what I can do, and hopefully, you know, fans will respond to it the way they have before, mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, from the support that I've gotten so far, I don't see it ending anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also being in a place of writing from what you know and in the space that you are as a human being. A lot of writers do that, and a lot of artists work from a place that is relevant to what they are feeling right now. So, yeah, I think that's very important.
For me too, I mean, Muhammad Ali and Michael J. Fox are two of the most incredible performers and workers that has ever existed.
And two of the most amazing, talented
exactly.
individuals
so, like,
in American history.
Being in their category is an honor at the same time as, you know, you have all this sadness and stuff that, like, that comes with it, but, like, it's a select group, and, I mean, who wouldn't want to be in a category with Michael J. Fox and Muhammad Ali? And,
yeah.
Like, right.
who'd I want to be on that stat line.
Exactly.
So I'm wondering if there was ever a conversation about whether or not to tell people or when to tell people, because
yeah.
because you do live on your art, and you yeah. know, and that, and when you tell people something like this that is so personal and does affect every portion of your life, I mean, there's a risk. Right.
Sure. Oh, sure. And I mean, there still is, like, there's a lot of people that, you know, when I get hired to do other people's work,
right.
Whether it's cinematography, producing, or directing,
mm-hmm.
you know, once you come out that you have Parkinson's, like, you might not get that job because they don't think you can do it.
Right. Right.
So there was that fear, and there was, and I waited years before I did it. Because we knew in, like, late 2016 that this was the deal.
Yeah.
But we kept fighting and trying to figure out, you know, you go through this process where you're like, it can't be me, right? Like,
right.
It can't, like,
right.
I'm 38. Like, I shouldn't have Parkinson's.
Right.
But then you go through that and you find your dark corner and you live in your dark corner for a moment. And then you come out of it and you're like, all right, well, this is the deal. This is what I got.
Mm-hmm.
So why not use it to inspire and to help and, you know, make your craft better
mm-hmm.
versus letting it control and, you know, defeat you.
Yeah.
Here's a question that might be a weird question. Do you think that your history dealing with horror set you up or prepared you to better deal with real life trauma?
I don't know per se. I mean, the parts of horror that I like are the fantasy stuff. And it deals with like a darkness that everybody, you know, you get these things that, that hit you, you know, everybody's got something different. You
right.
know, Mr. Parks is just mine.
Right.
But everybody has something that like takes them to the worst spot that you could possibly be in. It's the abyss. And a lot of horror is defeating the abyss. Mm. Like, you know, a lot of times you focus on the killer, Freddy Krueger or, you know, Jason or anything like that. But the my favorite stories are the ones that the people who defeat them, the people who, even as charismatic as the killer is, the who's the one who actually stopped them from doing it and getting out of that abyss. So there is definitely, you know, as most stories, it's just the overcoming of the terribleness that's in front of you, whether that's a creepy clown or a wiggly monster.
I love that you call it the Wiggly Monster.
That's awesome. And I think that's why horror is so popular as a genre. It's about survival. It's about, you know, getting through, you know, like you said, the dark, dark night. So does that instill you with hope and like,
oh, of course.
Helps you continue?
Like, I mean, I love telling stories. I love inspiring people. The letters that I get of, you know, soldiers and people who've had things like mine that watch my movies to get out of that moment for that brief amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the sweetest letters. So like, you know, if that's my place I found is to help people get through their day, whatever crappy day they're having, if they can come sit down and laugh, you know, or stop looking at the news of the president and all the wonderful things he's doing. And like, so to get past all that, like once that's all over, it's like, okay, well, I need to relax before I go to bed and I want to go somewhere. I want to take a trip. And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to be like, well, let's go this way. Let's not think about those things and just take a ride.
Cause all right. So let's put this all together. Since 2004, you have made over 180 films.
No. Since 1988.
All right,
2004 was the first time my film got released to the public.
All right, so still, amazing span of time. Has this kind of forced you to slow down?
It did. At the beginning, it did. We took a year off, which is a long time for me.
Right, because it seems like you're just always a person.
Just to battle my own demons and to figure it all out and like what's my place with it, how it's a part of me, how it will further me versus, you know, fighting it all the time, using it to like show, you know, I had to figure it all out. And, you know, and then eventually I got to the point where I was like, okay, well, it's, you know, it's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be there. And so I had to just become one with it versus, you know, keeping it at odds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have artists in the world that are disabled and would like to do more with what they can. What would you say to those people who have, you know, a disease or something that's keeping them from fully wanting to do what they want to do, and they're in that state and then that abyss? What do you say to them?
The biggest thing that I've come away with is that the disease is not the enemy. You are the enemy. Like, you will talk yourself out of doing stuff because of the disease. The disease is not stopping you from doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you realize that it's not it's not controlling your life, it's just a part of your life, you still control your life, you'll stop talking yourself out of doing stuff. And that's the biggest thing to remember, is that you're doing more damage than it's doing.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. I want to do a drop after that. I don't even want to... Yeah, because I want to touch base. I want to talk about where people can find Darkstone stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, again, what's coming up next? So like, I keep asking 800 times. This is Homegrown. Drop.
This is David Tewksbury, singer songwriter from Charlottesville, Virginia, and you are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
46 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown. An amazing homegirl, like it always is. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards.
All right, I really want to know where that sound is.
That's the sound
from.
Of Darkstone Entertainment creeping up on you.
No, I really want to know where that
John
sound
Johnson
is.
John Johnson in the
from.
House.
But see, I'm not going to be the stupid girl in the horror film that goes to investigate to find out what the sound
Johnny,
is
are you
or
in
where
that
it's coming
shed?
From.
Leslie, could you go check out that sound?
Nope. Nope. Not at all.
I'm too busy making popcorn. Can you handle this?
Nope, not at all.
So if I want to watch Dark Zone stuff, if I've listened to this and it's like, this is amazing, I want to catch Plan 9, I want to catch all this Dark Zone stuff, where do I go?
Darkstone-ent.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
And is it where you can just like order DVDs, or can you watch anything online? Like, what's
yeah,
the,
there's
what's the
tons of stuff. The short films are available on there, the productions, the podcasts, the films are released by different companies, so but we link to where you can find them.
Okay.
Because I actually don't own most of my films.
Got you.
For like another 20 years.
Nice.
But eventually they'll come back to me. you can find
just biding my like time. Children.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, you can find all my stuff darkstone-ent.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Johnny Johnson. It says the guy with the hat. So, you know, I post all the time about everything that we're doing. I create films with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll post a group where I just say, okay, guys, we're looking to make a movie this weekend, a short film. What monster should it be? And I let them vote on what monster I make and stuff like that. So we're very integral to our fan bases.
Mm. That sounds stressful. It sounds like you have to wear a hat all the time.
I do. Balding has something to do with that as well.
Like, if police come at like 3 o'clock in the morning, like you have to put the hat on before you answer the door.
I'll get the hat and Hawaiian shirt I wear all the time. And if I go to a convention to do the signing and meet and greet, and I'm not wearing the hat, and they're mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I put on
a freaking hat.
I gotta do it. Yeah. It's the thing.
That's a nice problem to have, though.
Yeah. It is. It is a good
people
problem.
Want what they want.
Dude, you've established your personal brand.
Apparently. That and ranch dressing. I'm a big fan of ranch dressing. And so people will give me skeleton keys and ranch dressing and send me pictures of ranch dressing anytime they find it.
Awesome.
I'm a big fan.
Okay.
Just stockpiled in ranch dressing.
Mm-hmm. There's a horror movie in there somewhere.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
forget the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll wrap it up. Anything else you want to address? Anything else that you want to...
Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
All right.
thank you guys so much for having me. It's been awesome. And you guys have a great show.
I said no to either. Could have used that. Well, actually, I did hear that. And I just didn't pay attention.
Yeah, I saw
David doesn't pay attention to Mitch at all.
You can't tell me what to do. If you tell me not to do something, I'm just going to do it. I mean, just
hey, David.
Yes,
hey, David. I want you to not succeed.
Done.
How's challenge that for reverse accepted. Psychology?
I'm going to be like John Johnson over here. This made like...
Yeah, but the hat's not going to fit over the
now. No, I tried that look.
You can find the right
I tried
hat.
That look. It just even when I had like short hair, I tried that look. It just don't work. It just don't work. I can't
you
pull it off like
right
you do. Yeah,
there's
I mean, I can do hats, but I'm just not... Of course, I'm not in a hat phase right now. maybe sooner.
Maybe later.
John Johnson, thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much
up.
For having me.
And
thank
yeah, you'll
you.
Be back when you do your next awesome thing.
Yes, have a good please movie. Come back.
Released. Cool. So, we gonna do this rant? I'm sure you got something to.
I have a little something.
You got a little something. You want to talk about?
Can we put some? Can you pull?
Can we put something nice on the key of B minor? Please.
Some Mama from Soul Food.
Can you oh do snap! That? Oh. Nah, because I'm going to start crying, and I don't want to do that.
Well, you know what?
I'm thinking
some,
about the song.
There's
and I'm
been
welling.
Some stuff on Facebook this morning I've from been... my mother that, you know,
oh,
I was literally
Lord.
Like, I posted about, you know, I posted to her Mother's Day, and then she replied.
Shirt sleeve
and I literally almost went, I'm not crying.
Yep.
You're crying.
Because my man John got me a little misty,
but,
and I know
yeah.
when Birdman come out, it's just going to be over.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just going to be over. Like, if y'all don't know the Soul Food soundtrack, y'all need to get your lives together.
Oh, my God, that was such a good soundtrack,
like,
right?
Seriously.
Such a good soundtrack.
While Clinton's pulling up that sound, since we are a progressive art show, I want to give a shout-out to local matriarchs of the theater art scene.
Yes.
Carol and Boomy Pedersen, two of my favorite women of all mankind.
Yeah.
Dr. Andrea Douglas.
Yes.
Putting together the Jeff School, making it what it is.
Yeah, Luik, you better be giving your mama breakfast in bed this morning. I'm
breakfast
checking on you.
In bed. Freshly squeezed orange juice from the thingy.
Yes.
The thingy that you got to squeeze it from.
Yes.
It's a lot of pulp, but the love equals out. That's what I say.
Oh, my goodness.
A song for Mama. should be all the way down at the bottom, because it should be wrapping it up at the end, because that's what they do. And if it's not on there, it's on the Evolution
album by Boyz II Men.
So I think David loves this song, because he knows exactly what album it's on.
I listened to it like 8 times, and I played it for my mom. I was like, "Mom, it's for you.
Mom, it's
I'm going to walk away, because I can't stay here while you listen to it. It's too much." All right. It's playing now.
So, a little poem for mamas by Khalil Gibran. And a woman who held a babe against her bosom said, "Speak to us of children." And he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the boughs from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable." And I don't know about y'all, but that completely describes my mother. And I think we would be remiss if we did not mention and give a plug for all of the mothers who are incarcerated and cannot spend time with their children today. So if you guys can, go to National Bailout, Black Mama Bailout, and donate some money so that these women can get back to their children. And that's all I got for today, because, you know, I'm not crying. I'm not crying. You're crying.
Also, money bail is also one of the main reasons as of the destruction of a black family. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there. Please donate to Song. Donate to blackmamasbailout.com. Yeah, today's the day that mothers should be with their children, regardless of what they've done in the past. So,
And I think we need to give a shout out to all of those aunties who have been mothers to all of us when our mothers weren't around.
Yep. Those who choose not to be mothers and chose to be mothers in different capacities.
Exactly.
In education and, you know, development and mentorship.
Psychology.
Right.
Oh, my God.
You know, just anybody who is there to listen, like a mother. That means a lot to somebody. So thank you for the work that y'all do.
I think we should also give a shout out to FCC chairman and Verizon boyfriend Ajit Pai, because he certainly is a mother. I've thought that for.
I see what you did.
See,
yeah, the mother of all D-bags. Solve net neutrality. It helps John, and it helps so many people succeed that cannot, who don't live by the almighty dollar. So, love those mothers as well. What? But yeah, this is Homegrown. We're going to wrap it up early. I'm going to go see my mama up in RVA. See that she's doing well. Maybe cook her some food.
Yeah, cook mama some food. Give mama dear big old hug and kiss for me.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
You missed seeing my mommy yesterday.
I saw your mother last. Not last weekend, but the weekend before.
The weekend before, yeah. But she was up here.
And she's awesome and amazing.
She just went home yesterday.
Aw.
But I gave her a beautiful scarf with pretty pink butterflies on it.
That's how you do it.
For her mother's day present.
Pink butterflies. That says love.
Right?
Really.
Cats used to be her thing, and now it's butterflies. So, you know, I've had to switch. It was a cat figurine every Mother's Day. Now it's something with butterflies on it.
I think a cat caught a butterfly, and then she felt sorry for it, and then she was like, screw cats. And now... butterflies.
She roots for the underdog now.
That's what you think? I love how you made a little story about that in your head right now. That's cute.
I did.
I used to think cats were okay.
We are so weird.
They are instruments of death. All right, let's wrap it up. We're talking about cats killing things. that means the show is over. This has been Homegrown.
That's what that means?
I'm David Von Strahn, a.k.a. The Devious One. That's Leslie. That's Clinton. John Johnson. His lovely wife doing a lot of camera work that I didn't see back there. Shout out to her. Yeah, we'll see y'all next week. Take it easy, y'all. Happy Mother's Day. Peace.
This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We'd like to thank our guest, John Johnson from Darkstone Entertainment. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc., our event music by Positive Collective. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed, of course, to our attorneys at the fine firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke.
There will be no complaints about Homegrown!
Legal services, like a song.
David has spoken!
Also coming up next, it's a previously recorded version of the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest today is his own mother, Ann Moore, talking about Mother's Day and parenting. Stay tuned. We'll see you next week.
WPVC-LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.